When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies. Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen. I do appreciate you. Feel free to reach out, Jeff at beekeepingfornewbies.com, or hit us up at beekeepingfornewbies, that's N-E-W-B-E-E-S.com. Go about halfway down the page on the left-hand side. You should see a link to the Discord room. All right, folks, here we are. It's episode 55. I'll make my own queens, thank you. If you're talking to a friend, you need to have a little more attitude with that. So it's, I'll make my own queens, thank you. So that's kind of how you have to say that, just so you know. First off, I sincerely want to thank all of you for the support, both within the podcast and the YouTube channel. I think we've had about a 20% increase in new subscribers to the channel, 230%+ increase in our watch time. As I continue, you know, working through all the episodes and getting them uploaded to the podcast playlist on YouTube, I'm also working on some scripts for some 10 to 15 minute videos on various topics. So that's all stuff that's in the works, but thank you for taking the time to watch. We're only a couple hours short of monetization. I think it's only like 2,900 hours or something like that. So definitely in the next day or two or year or two. Anyway, before we really jump into things here, I do have a confession I need to make. There's two weird things that have been going on with me for about a week now. One is that multiple times a day, for roughly about an hour at a time, I walk around my house as I'm just kind of doing like regular things around the house or the yard or whatever, and I'm talking in an Australian accent. I have no idea what's going on. I mean, the big problem with this is I have a terrible Australian accent. It's atrocious. I can't even get close to sounding anything like Crocodile Dundee or anything. It's so bad, and I find myself doing it. And just as I get into another day and I think, okay, it's over, it's not going to happen again, it happens again. The second thing that I'm doing when I'm apparently not doing the random Australian accent is I'm doing Jeffrey Morgan, the guy who played Negan from The Walking Dead. Yeah, I'm walking around my house playing Negan. I don't know why I'm saying things like Negan says them. It's a chaotic place up here in my brain housing group. So just kind of bear with me. But anyway, let's get to work, folks. I am viewing these queen rearing tasks that we're talking about today as kind of 200, 300 level skills, depending on the method that you use. But even so, you know, let's do a quick recap on the queen. We know that there's only one in the colony. We know that she is the backbone of everything within that colony. Very little gets done without her. Yes, they can go and they can forage and they can find things to eat, and they'll all kind of hang out and meander throughout the hive in her absence, but things are just not getting done. There's no progress. There's no replacement of bees. There's nothing significant that is actually taking place in her absence. If she's not there and she's not healthy, it's the NFL for the colony. Not for long, right? We've had a lot of chat lately in the Discord room around splitting and different approaches, so I feel like this is both relevant and timely. So let's talk about the conditions or the scenarios that might put us in a position where we want or need an extra queen or two or 20 within our apiary. So one scenario, let's say that you plan to do some splits in the spring and you want to make five splits from five existing colonies. That's a great example of why you would want to have extra queens. Second example here, say you've been keeping bees for a couple years, very productive queen or multiple productive queens, and they're ending their useful lifespan. You know, perhaps it makes sense to go ahead and requeen them early so that they can continue to be as productive as they have been with minimal disruption during that spring busy season. Another example, you want to make some support nukes, or as some people call them, resource colonies to support your production hives. What I'm talking about specifically is having queens in nukes laying eggs like crazy, then using some of those brood frames to boost the population of your production colonies, ultimately resulting in a bigger honey yield. I mean, think of how great it would be to essentially have a colony that has two or three queens working for it to lay eggs versus just the one. Another example, maybe you want to sell nukes and you need queens to sell those nukes. You could also, if you wanted to, you could sell mated queens for anywhere between probably $30 and $50, depending on where you are. And the last example, just kind of off the top of my head here, is that you could build a cell builder, which we'll talk about in a minute, and you could sell capped queen cells for $5 a piece. That seems to be about the going price, about $5 each. With those numbers, if you had a cell builder up and running and you kept it running for a full month, you'd probably make about $1,000 a month just on selling queens out of a cell builder. Obviously, if you have more cell builders, more queen cells. So why would it be better to use your stock versus ordering them from someone else? So what I'm talking about right now is a colony that has overwintered. So hopefully you already know they've got that genetic trait, which is critically important. But you've also had some time around your bees now, most likely about a year or so. So you understand their temperament, their honey production, hygiene, tendency to swarm. If all of those things are the way you like them to be, that's a great reason to be making queens from your own stock versus bringing in outside queens. So really being able to preserve those good genetic traits is a great reason for why you would use your own breeder queen versus bringing one in. Another reason is there's no potential weird issues that could happen with the delivery of your queen. As an example, years ago, I had two queens that were on order. I was set up for all the notifications and all the alerts and never got an alert. I thought, okay, maybe there was a delay of some sort. I go out to my mailbox on like a 90, 95 degree day, and inside my mailbox is a little small box that says live bees, you know, written all over it, and my queens died in the mailbox. And also kind of along those lines, if you ordered them and you're planning for them to arrive at a certain day and time, you may be getting the colonies prepped. You might be in a position where you've destroyed queen cells. So you kind of need them in a timely manner. You may have to order from somebody who says, I can get them to you in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Well, that might not work well with the schedule of your honeybees. Another thing, again, is being able to control that schedule. You can say, I'm going to need a queen in 2 weeks, 3 weeks out, whatever it might be. You plan your queen rearing approach to align with your schedule. And I would say the last real benefit is you being able to raise your queen, use mating nukes or whatever else you use to get them mated. And then as soon as you're ready, you're introducing a mated and laying queen right away. So you're not wondering about whether or not that emerged queen that is a virgin queen who is going out to get mated, is she ever going to come back? Is the queen that was sent or mailed to you, is she truly viable? Are they going to have any issue with her upon arrival because she hasn't laid in a while? Any of those issues are out because you've got it in-house. You're handling everything in-house. So now we kind of have an idea of why we might need a queen and some things we can do once we have them. But let's talk about some different techniques to actually make them, to go through the queen rearing process. But before we go too far, I do want to define what a cell builder is. I'm going to talk about it quite a bit today, and I wanted to make sure we have a good understanding early on. A cell builder is a bee box of sorts. It can be a deep, I mean, it could theoretically be a medium, whatever you have that you can pack out with a whole bunch of honeybees. These are going to be ideally honeybees that are on brood that is about to emerge. So you end up with nurse bees already, plus a lot of new bees about to be born who will also become nurse bees. You're going to take, like I said, a deep is a great example. You take a single deep and you're just dropping frame after frame after frame. So let's say maybe you're using, say, 8 or 9 of the frames are just completely packed with brood. Maybe you have one space reserved for a frame feeder, and then you'll leave another space empty for your actual frame that you insert, which we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But the cell builder itself is just a queenless colony with a whole bunch of nurse bees that are queenless, and they're just dying to make a queen because they've got nothing else they can work with. Now, a critical component to this cell builder is when you put all of those capped brood frames in there, you have to make sure that there are no eggs or young larvae in there at all. Because if there is, the bees will absolutely try to make a queen from them. And the best quality queens are going to come from a really young larva. If you get a larva that's already a few days old, it's not going to be as good of a queen as it would be if you had a larva that had just hatched from the egg. But making sure that there are no existing queen cells, no larva, just nothing but packed brood and lots of nurse bees. So 100% hopelessly queenless colony. So before we start going into specific techniques, let's do a quick refresher. So the first important thing to keep in mind is to be thinking about when bees are typically, you know, naturally making queens. They're doing this in the spring. They do it when the flow is on, when they've got a lot of new young nurse bees, the conditions are optimal, there are tons of things that are in bloom. So when we go into this with the idea of synthetically manufacturing queens, basically, we want to be thinking about what we can do to mimic those spring type conditions. Because really, you know, the colony is getting packed, it's the spring, there's a lot of stuff coming in, and the colony is saying, hey man, we might need to swarm, there's too many of us here. Like, those are ideal conditions to make queens. So you are going to replicate that exact kind of setup in your cell builder. Now, I mentioned before about how important it was that we're dealing with nurse bees, and that comes down to some of the glandular secretions and things that they put out that is unique to nurse bees, that is a critical piece of them being able to raise young larvae. So as a bit of a refresher, or it might be a new concept if you didn't already know this, but all honeybee larvae will be fed royal jelly for the first 3 days after they hatch from an egg and they become a larva. From then on, they receive what's called brood food, which is a mixture of food containing mandibular and hypopharyngeal gland secretions from those attending nurse bees that we just talked about. And that's a big, you know, protein-rich pollen formula. Now, if that exact same worker was designated to become a queen, the only difference in feeding would be that she would receive royal jelly for the duration of her development. She would not get that brood food. It's all royal jelly for her.
As most of you know, I'm a big fan of the outdoors, and most of my time is dedicated to beekeeping and gardening-related discussions. But you probably did not know that one of my responsibilities as a kid was caring for our houseplants. Yes, part of my $5 a week allowance went towards making sure all of the houseplants were healthy and happy. We used to have shamrocks, Christmas cactus, philodendron, and more. Which leads us to today's podcast sponsor, and a special thanks to Palm Street. Palm Street is the best live shopping app for the plant lover community. You can buy and sell rare plants, crystals, ceramics, and other unique goods. Connect with trusted plant sellers and nurseries that sell nationwide. Shop 24/7 and with live human customer support. What I love most about Palm Street is joining a live stream where sellers walk through all the details and characteristics of the plants they're offering. You can get live answers to your questions and see what questions others have asked as well. It's such a great way to engage for buyers and sellers. And as a special offer, new users will receive $5 app credit, 10% off their first order, and up to $6 off shipping for 3 orders. Palm Street, available on Google Play or the App Store.
When I was little, my grandmother had bird feeders and a bird bath in her backyard. Some of my favorite memories growing up were listening to her tell me everything she knew about the feathered friends that visited her yard daily. How amazing would it have been for us to be able to capture images and videos of that experience and to be able to share them with others? Well, if you're ready to take your backyard bird watching to the next level, FeatherSnap makes Wi-Fi enabled smart bird feeders that blend the best of technology and nature. Get a high def glimpse of your feathered friends with a top of the line camera so every visitor can be seen with clarity and detail. A unique dual feeder bin helps attract more species, and built-in solar panels keep your camera's battery going strong. FeatherSnap's mobile app creates a truly immersive experience, allowing you to collect and organize your favorite pics and videos and earn badges along the way. Best of all, FeatherSnap offers expert-trained AI identification of more than 275 North American species thanks to their in-house ornithologist. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So now that we kind of understand what it takes to make a queen and what that queen is being fed in her development, I think it sort of helps to understand why that cell builder being built is so critical versus just trying to make them in a traditional hive that just happens to be queenless. So then the next question is, what method do we want to use to create or raise our new queens? So we'll just take a minute and we'll run through a couple of different methods, and hopefully, you know, one of them will be a good fit for you. And don't get too concerned or worried that you're doing a method wrong or that it's not being done in a textbook way. The bees are very good at what they do. If you get pretty close, they can usually handle the rest. Now, obviously, you can't get too wild and crazy with that, but do the best you can. And typically, people that are doing this will find a way to try to do 8, 10, 15, 20. So maybe if you mess up on half of them the first time, you're still going to get a good turnout. But one of the more common, but probably the most difficult methods is queen grafting, or basically grafting larvae. So in this approach, you're going to need to use one of two popular grafting tools. One is called the Chinese grafting tool. So one is called a Chinese grafting tool. This tool is about the diameter of a pencil or so, maybe a bit more narrow. It's spring-loaded. It has a little plastic or a bamboo scooper that comes out when you press on it, sort of like when you're pressing on the back of a pen to kind of engage the ink pen. The other tool is similar in size, but instead of having a spring-loaded section that retracts, it's a fixed tool with a bend in it at the end, and this is called a German grafting tool. The idea of both these instruments is the same. You need to take a frame of young larvae that are floating in a pool of royal jelly, insert the tool into the cell, and scoop out the larva, being careful to insert it into the grafting cell in the same orientation that it was removed when you took it out of the source cell. With the Chinese grafting tool, you press the button in, it extends the piece of plastic or bamboo, it's like a tongue almost that comes out. That's kind of the technical term, the tongue-looking thing. You scoop under the larva, then you go to the destination grafting location, set it in place, and then let go of the spring as you're kind of, you know, withdrawing. And that should hopefully then allow the larva to settle back in the same orientation that it was. With the fixed grafting tool, or the German grafting tool, you're going to scoop out the larva and then just kind of drop it back in the same way. I'd say the most important thing in this whole process is to make sure you're laying them back down in that same orientation that you picked them up in. If you flip it upside down, it can actually drown in the royal jelly. It's kind of a weird thing. I don't understand it necessarily, but it is what it is. It's not the easiest thing. It's like any other skill, right? You do it a few times and you get better and better, and then, you know, but I wouldn't be surprised if you have a 20 to 35, 40% success rate in your first time doing this. And by the time you've done it 6 or 7 times, you're probably getting 90, 95% or better. It's definitely something that's easier to understand when you're watching a video, but at least you have kind of a rough idea of what that approach looks like. Now, there's some more to it in preparation. All of these have some kind of prep work that's involved in them, but basically you're going to grab a frame. You're looking for a frame that has kind of probably a mix of eggs and larvae. You want that larva that's as new as possible. You want the larva that is just the beginning of that larval stage, and it is sitting in a pool of royal jelly. Those are the ones that you want to get for this. You want to keep them as close to the same temperature as it would be in the hive when you're doing all this work. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later on. Okay, the next approach is called the Nicot method. So in this method, there's a tray, has about 100 little cups on it. You place this Nicot tray into a regular frame and you drop it into a hive for a day. You let the workers kind of go in, they polish everything up and they get it cleaned up, and that's about a day or two to do that. Then there's this section that you open and you insert the queen into that area. So that restricts her to just moving around those polished little cups, and you leave her in there for a couple of days. She will lay eggs into all of those little cups. Once everything is done, you can take her out, you can leave her there. Ideally, you'd take her out, get her back into the rest of the colony, but the workers will go in there and they'll start to do some initial care on those cups. And once they move into that larval stage, and you get the royal jelly in them and everything, at that point, you can actually remove that entire frame, take those, you open the container up and you remove the individual cups, and then they have a complementary piece to that that you would already have nailed onto a frame. And it is a frame that is designed for queen cells. And you would just slide this up into that pre-made complementary piece that's already attached to the frame. And once you get all of them in there, you just drop the entire frame into the cell builder and let them work their magic. I think this is a good time to mention on the cell builder side of things. Once you install that first frame, I usually set mine up with like a frame 3 and a frame 7. I use those as my graft frames. So you might have, let's say, 1, 2, 9, and 10 might be honey, nectar, pollen. Frames 3 and 7 are going to be grafting frames, and everything in the middle is all brood frames with a bunch of brood. But when I put the first frame in there, I leave it for 1 week, and then I move it up to the next position and bring the next one in to replace it. So I always know in frame 3 is the had just got there, and frame 7 has been there for a week. By the time you get to the next time, the second iteration, so basically you're at 14 days, you're adding in another one and you're taking one out. So you're taking out an entire frame of capped queen cells that are going to be hatching in a couple of days. So we can probably dive deeper into that. I can probably do an entire episode just talking about the cell builder by itself. So if we want to do that, let me know and we'll come back to that. Right now, I really just want to talk about the different methods that are out there, and then you can kind of figure out how you want to proceed from there. The next one I want to talk about is the Miller method. So I've actually used this before. It's very easy to set up and it's very effective. This is hands down one of the easiest and probably one of the best for new beekeepers. I used this several times many years ago. I didn't know it was called the Miller method. I think I saw a YouTube video. I think it was like the Fat Bee Guy who did it. But the one challenge that we face is when we drop a frame of eggs and young larvae into a cell builder or a queenless colony, they'll just draw up a queen cell anywhere. This can sometimes be a bit tricky to extract a viable queen cell, especially if you're using plastic foundation. They'll also sometimes put them a bit close to one another, so it makes it really difficult to separate them or to get them out individually. So for this method, what you're going to do is you're going to cut some of the drawn comb or plastic foundation, and you're going to make about a third the way down the comb, you're going to cut inward and make a big V. And you'll put about 3 to 4 big Vs going from about one third the way down to about two thirds the way down is where you'll cut those big Vs. Now, like I said, on a regular wax foundation, I would let them draw up the comb first, lay the eggs, you know, do all the heavy lifting first before I cut it. On the wax foundation, I would cut that ahead of time. That way you're not trying to saw through it with a bunch of eggs and larvae vibrating all over the place. But the end result is the same. You're going to end up with these Vs. And then you can just take that frame. Like I said, the frame needs to have eggs and young larvae. It can just be eggs for that matter. It doesn't really matter at that point. And you're going to drop that entire frame into whatever you designate as a cell builder. It can just be a queenless colony. It can be one that you've pumped up and boosted really heavily with a ton of nurse bees, which would be ideal. But you're just going to drop it in that colony, come back in a week and check on it. Everything should be good. The queen cells should be developing. Come back in another week. They should be all capped and about ready to go. And a couple days later, you got a new queen, multiple new queens. One recommendation that you can do before you drop that frame into your cell builder, though, is if you go down those Vs, because what they're going to do is they're going to build the queen cells all along those Vs, and it'll be a lot easier to kind of cut them off those edges. But probably about every 3 or 4 cells down on both sides of the V, go ahead and pinch those cells closed so that you kind of create a natural gap in between them. That way they don't make so many queen cells that, again, you can't even get them off the sides. I've seen some where they literally line the whole thing, and it's going to make a little bit more than you can get to safely without maybe potentially cutting into a queen cell while you're removing them. Now, another method is, I don't have a technical term for it, but it's like the wax-dipped dowel rod or wooden rod. I've seen this one for years. I was looking this up because I wanted to find the original video I had seen on this a long time ago, because I know the Fat Bee Guy did this one. And I saw Jason Christman, I think his name is. I haven't watched his videos in a long time, but he's a good guy. He puts out some pretty good content. And he actually did a pretty good video on wax dipping. But basically what you're going to do is take some wax, whether it's old foundation or whatever you have kind of laying around, and just melt it in some kind of a container. And then what you'll do is take a piece of dowel, and I would say maybe like some 5/16 or 3/8 piece of dowel rod, and you're going to dip it into the hot wax, and you pull it out. You know, you probably go about 1/2 inch or so into the melted wax or melting wax, dip it in, and then remove it, and you'll see that you have wax all on the end of that dowel. And then just stick it into like a cold glass of water for 30 seconds or so to cool it off, and then you should be able to grab the end and then hold on to the end of the wax form that you just made and twist the rod, and it should pop off. Once you have those, you can then press those in place onto a frame that you want to use as a cell builder, and you can graft into that and however you want to handle that process. But I would just go ahead and graft directly into those and then put that into a cell builder. So from here, I'm not going to dive deep into the other methods that are here. I mean, it seems like everybody who has a last name has coined a method. And yes, they're a little bit different in some ways, but when it's all said and done, everything is being done the same way. And one point or another, you're getting eggs and or young larvae. You're putting them into a colony of some sort that doesn't have a queen. They are going to make a queen. That's what it comes down to. So the other ones I have on my list here are the Hopkins method, the cloak board, alley method. And again, yes, there are nuances and differences in them. Feel free to go out and Google them and try as many of them as you want to try. If it were me, the way that I would do things first would be that Miller method. I would just go ahead and cut the frames into the Vs, drop that into a queenless colony, and let them make queen cells from that. And again, obviously, this is a frame that's already been in a queen right colony. The queen has already laid eggs all over that frame, and you're dropping that frame now into a queenless colony, and you're letting them make new queen cells. That's, again, the easiest way to do it. That's what I would probably be doing first. This kind of wax dip on the dowel rod, that's a good way to do it. A little more effort involved in it, but it's not that bad. But I would recommend definitely trying the grafting. It's a little bit more challenging, but once you get the hang of it, I mean, you can crank them out and you can do a whole bunch. But like I said, you know, all the techniques have, you know, maybe different tools, different considerations, but it's pretty consistent across the board. You do need young larvae, and you need to keep in mind about how delicate that they are. You know, they're used to being at a very consistent temperature and humidity. They're used to the constant care of the nurse bees. So if you're moving them from the bee yard to your car or wherever you're grafting from, you know, put a damp towel or a cloth over them to kind of protect them. And don't do your grafting, for example, if you have a vehicle at the apiary, don't take them into your car with the AC set to 65 degrees as you're trying to graft. You're going to have to be in there sweat. If you're sweating your butt off in the car while you're grafting, you probably have the temperature pretty well where it needs to be. If you need to take them, you know, from the cell builder and relocate them somewhere else, and you don't have an incubator, the ideal way would be to have some kind of an incubator so you keep the temperature consistent. But if you don't have that, you can put them in something that has some foam, maybe wrap a warm towel out of the dryer or something over them, and definitely try to do whatever you can to minimize the vibration, because again, you know, the struggle is real when we're talking about shaken queen syndrome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all I have for you today. I know we've really just skimmed the surface here as far as techniques go, because like I said before, if you have a last name, you can make up a technique for queen rearing, but none of them are all that different, and it's not that hard to do. It's just like anything else, right? You got to get in, you got to try it out, play around, and kind of learn as you go. I fully intended to already have videos of all of this done, and I don't right now, and I'm not sure when I will, but as soon as I can, I will literally do every one of them, and I will post them. I just can't do it right now, kind of a long story. But key takeaway, lots of young nurse bees, plenty of food, pollen, nectar, sugar syrup, pack them into a cell builder, bees are going to do the rest. So hopefully one of these techniques sounds like something of interest to you. And if you think we need to dive deeper on a subject, or maybe you say, hey, I just want to have an episode on the cell builders, man, you got to give me more on the cell builders. I'll dedicate a full episode to doing nothing but talking about cell builders. Or if you have a technique that you think is better, or if you've used these or any other technique and you're like, oh my God, Jeff, these are absolutely terrible, don't do this, or make sure you do this, let me know. Shoot me an email, jeff@beekeepingfornewbies.com. Go into the Discord room. Come in there and let us know, like, hey, this is a technique or the method I've been using and it's really successful, because again, we want to share all of this with everybody who wants to know, wants to learn. I know I've done a couple things. I've only done a few of these because once I found something that I liked, I just stuck with it. But we'd love to hear what everybody has to say and what they have to share with the whole team here. Well, with that, it is time for me to go get to work on the next episode. Take care, be kind to one another, and I will talk to all of you soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.